Good morning. You may be seated. It is such a delight to be with you this morning. Redeemer, you already know this, but I have to reiterate it that you are so blessed to have such amazing leaders serving as your pastors and missing Reverend David Ware, but glad that he is resting and looking forward to his return and the work that we get to partner with in our work with Build and bringing the work of God and justice to our city and to our area. I want to begin with a little bit of history on this Martin Luther King birth weekend. A long time ago, our phones used to plug into a wall not to be recharged, but they plugged into a wall to actually work. Y'all remember that? In those times, long time ago, you couldn't tell who was calling you. Anybody remember these days? And if you were waiting for a call, you would work with your family. And you would say, nobody get on the phone, because I'm waiting for a call. And you would coordinate with your family for that call to come in because you had this anticipation, whether it was to receive an update about a job, or a friend, or maybe in our younger years, it was to hear from that person that we had a crush on. And we asked everybody to stay away from the phone because a couple of things. One, you only had but so much lines, right? You could do hold, but then sometimes you didn't have that. If you had one person to call, the other call could not get through. But you also had no idea when someone called, if they were the person you were waiting to listen to. I don't know if you've ever had this moment where the phone would ring and you'd rush to the phone and you'd answer the phone only to find out the sound on the other end was not the voice you were waiting for. So that disappointing, like, oh, it's just you. Good memories. But if you could remember the anticipation of waiting for this call that you knew would come, but you had no idea when it would arrive. In the scriptures we heard this morning, there was a moment where people were waiting to hear from God. It says that the word of God was rare in the time when Samuel was called. And there was many, many years, hundreds of years of people waiting for the Messiah when Jesus arrived. There were people waiting in anticipation of when the call of God would arrive. Have you ever had a season of waiting? Y'all didn't waste any time for that. In anticipation to hear from God. Martin Luther King, when he was called to lead the work of the civil rights movement, he was a young man, newly married, and a new father. And he looked at what the work was happening and how difficult it was and the challenges that were there and the strife and the obstacles and the hatred. And pastors looked at him and said, we think you have the ability to lead. Will you lead this work? And he had a newborn baby. Y'all know what comes with that, right? Not a lot of time, not a lot of sleep. I can picture him at home in that brief moment where his newborn child is sleeping, finding times to talk with his wife. Should I answer this call? Martin Luther King, at some point as he was weighing his own personal call that he sensed God calling him, he had to look at all the obstacles in front of him, but he also began to look at what God was also doing. He looked at what's happening throughout the world in the 1950s and acknowledged that in Africa, many of the countries that had been oppressed for decades and generations were now all of a sudden finding their freedom. So as he contemplated his call, he began to say, it's not just about me, but God is doing something much bigger. If people of color are gaining their freedom in Africa, what could God be doing here? And so what if God is calling me not because I am equipped, but what if God is calling me because God is doing something big and he's inviting me into the grandeur of that work? It was an understanding that God was doing something bigger than himself, bigger than what was happening in America, bigger than what was happening in the South, that Martin Luther King began to say, I will now answer that call. Redeemer, when God calls us and we feel ill-equipped, We say, God, why me? I don't have the experience. God, why me? Do you not know my story? And we feel that we are too small. The reality is, if we could see what God is doing, it is often bigger than what we could ever think and or imagine. As we heard in the scriptures this morning, that Jesus, when he decided to go to Galilee, he found Philip and said to him, follow me. I want to remind you this morning that often the call that God gives to us is one where he's not asking us to do something on our own because of our capability. It's one where Jesus is often saying to us, will you follow me in the work that I am doing? Come and be with me. I want to remind you of that this morning because in the anticipation of the call, we might feel like it's all about us and we might feel like we don't deserve it. But the reality is, Jesus is saying, I want you to be a part of what I am doing. Come near to me. I want you to know me. Come near to me. I want you to understand my love and come and work with me. There's so much I want to do. And then Philip, in response, goes to Nathanael and says to Nathanael, come and see. The one we've been anticipating, the one we've been waiting for is here. Come and see. In many ways, Martin Luther King's life was a similar challenge for us. As he answered this call to what God was doing in that moment that was far bigger than what he was able to accomplish on his own. His beckoning message to us was always, come and see what God is doing. Come and see that God is breaking down these lines that have divided us. Come and see that God is mending and healing these barriers that have kept us so far. Come and see, people of faith, that Jesus is bringing us all together and reconciling us in his love. Come and see. What I appreciate about the scriptures this morning is that Nathanael replies and he asks, where did you get to know me? When Jesus saw him and called him, he said, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you that I saw you? Redeemer, it is so important to know that when Jesus calls us and invites us, that he saw us before we even began to see him. He recognized us far along before we realized that he was calling us. Yes, he's seen your flaws and he's seen your strengths. He's seen all of your experiences. And yet, even still, he calls you by name to draw near to him, to walk with him, and to work with him in bringing acts of justice and glimpses of his kingdom here, even on earth. My sense is that this is an important reminder this morning, because many times we have that great anticipation of the call. We finally believe that Jesus is calling us and we engage to have a relationship with him and we begin to work with him in works and acts of justice. We begin to also realize that the call has great anticipation and the call also has great agony. Especially and works of justice. And there's at least one person here this morning who felt that agony and thought, did I hear Jesus first the right way that he spoke to me? I was filled with anticipation, but I didn't know so much agony and difficulty would be on the road. If we engage in acts of justice, Jesus equally invites us to taste the agony of injustice, to share in the pain of those who suffer, to experience what they are experiencing so that we can then by faith work toward the justice that would relieve, that would heal, and that would mend. Have you ever been to a place? Have you ever been to the walls of a prison? Have you ever been among those who are hungry? Have you ever driven through Baltimore or walked through Baltimore and been in areas where you say to yourself, this is too uncomfortable for me. The agony is too much. I have to find a place to get away. Have you ever been in a conversation where you say, I just need a break from discussing all the issues of this world? Anybody else been there? I want you to fathom when we get tired of the agony of the conversations, how do people feel who live in that agony day by day? Jesus invites us to follow him. And we have an anticipation of the call, but with it comes an agony of the call that we would be committed to seeing a more just world. Understanding that people live in that agony day by day. Martin Luther King, towards the end of his life, his last speech, the day before he was assassinated, he was exhausted, y'all. The agony of the call was bearing him down. He didn't even want to go to the talk. He was sick physically, but he went because people were demanding that he showed up. And he preached his sermon about being to the mountaintop and seeing where it would go, that it was bigger than him. It was so much bigger than him that he spoke that night to the crowd and said, I've seen over the mountaintop. I see where we're going and what God is doing, and I may not get there with you. What faith is that? How much bigger is a calling is that? To literally be feeling the agony of the valley low, but have the vision of seeing over the mountaintop. The next day he would be assassinated. Well, Martin Luther King has taught us by his life and what remains with us with his legacy is that in the midst of the agony of the call that we do not forget the anticipation that God is doing something much bigger than us, Redeemer. God is doing something much bigger than our personal preferences. God is doing a work that is so big, and yet we are so valuable that he has welcomed us to follow him, the one who has carried all of our burdens and all of our sins, who was killed and crucified, who died an unjust death, has said, come and follow me. And when you taste the agony, don't turn away, but know that my comfort is in the midst of it. And if we can press forward, that God will say, you are blessed by what you have seen. Greater things than these you shall see. When the agony of the calling wears us down, whatever news station you watch, when you watch it, when it tells us, I just need to disengage, when you are exhausted, I wonder if we could consider, Lord Jesus, what are you doing in this world today? And how are you calling me to be a part? I would even say in the darkest moment, we should have the greatest anticipation. Lord Jesus, how are you calling me? Keep the phone lines clear. I am waiting for the call of God to know what is my part in the great work that God is doing. Can you see it, Redeemer? A city where no matter what zip code you're born into, you are living in a house of dignity. Can you see it, Redeemer? Where no longer we go back to our history of all the hate that we have, but we are surprised that somehow I can love someone who thinks and looks and lives differently than me. Can you see it, Redeemer? That we can be a part of building something wonderful and healing that cannot just ignore the past, but acknowledge it and have the power and the faith to mend and heal and to build a brighter future. Can you see it, Redeemer? That we can live in the valley low and have faith for the mountaintop. Can you see it, Redeemer? It is bigger than you. It is bigger than me. God is at work. And with great anticipation, we say, Lord, how are you calling me to be a part of the grandeur of justice that you're creating in the world today? With great anticipation, willing to acknowledge the agony, let us answer that call of Jesus to come, follow me. I see you and I know you, and I am doing something great, and I invite you to be a part of it with me. Amen.